round two. So again, a lot of decisions popping up here, and this is item number 10, hunting boundaries decision. So Dr. Jerry.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, and Director, if I may, I'm just going to give a couple opening remarks. First of all, really appreciated Kyle's presentation. That was rock solid, and it reminds me that although our waterfowl regulations appear complicated, the real message I hope people hear is that opportunity abounds. This is a wonderful state for waterfowl hunting, and if folks aren't looking at it, if they're confused or you know, the regulations are complicated, give us a call, reach out to your mentors. It is an incredible opportunity, and more people should be taking advantage of it here in Washington. Just another kind of to get things set in motion, I want the public to know that our 2017 hunter harvest information reports are now available online. That's the final piece of information that folks need in addition to the seasons that you'll be deciding on today to make their decisions on what they apply for, and the deadline for application will be May 23rd. So as soon as possible next week, we'll have these hunt recommendations and the seasons out electronically. And they should be at the vendors by the end of the month. And I know that works because last year I was hunting turkeys at the end of April, and I found my first set of our hunt regulations in a small mom-and-pop license vendor in the northeast portion of the state, which was pretty cool. And with that, I guess just a final comment as we launch into the remainder of these hunt recommendations. I wanted to take just a moment to, first of all, thank all of the staff that have been involved in this long, complicated process that gets us to where we are at today. I really appreciate everybody's efforts. And in thanking them, I'd also like to remind the commission as well as the public that no single hunt recommendation that you hear today is owned by one individual within the department. We get to where we're at today as a result of a team effort. So although there is most certainly a public process that most of us are familiar with, internally every one of these recommendations generally starts with the district biologist, and that recommendation is brought forward to the regional program manager. It has the support of the regional director as it makes its way into headquarters. Our species specialists look at the information. Our game division manager looks at the information. And ultimately, Mick Cope and I look at the information. And so it is truly a team effort that brings these recommendations to you. Every step along the way, we do try to be as transparent as we can and as responsive as we can. For this three-year package, we held 7 meetings across the state and received over 4,000 comments from people who participated in those meetings or on our online forum. In addition, when it seems necessary, when there's enough interest, our staff are actively engaging with individuals or groups to address specific concerns. So while a few select staff, such as Dr. Nelson to my left, have the honor of presenting this information to the commission, they are by no means the sole owners of the recommendation. And while this lengthy process has multiple touch points that occur along the way with all those staff, that really means that their department or at least wildlife program recommendations to all of you. And I do say that because sometimes through this process, some of the input that we get seems to get a little personal at times. And I would say that's not appropriate. These are department recommendations, and if they do need to get personal, I'd ask them to come to me, because ultimately I'm responsible for the oversight of that process that we use to get here today. And I just wanted to kind of remind folks of that and leave it at there.
Thanks, Eric. Wise words. Good words. Thank you. Dr. Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the commission, directors, I'm Jerry Nelson. I'm the Deer and Elk Section Manager for the Wildlife Program. Our first agenda item is related to hunting boundaries. Gave you an extensive briefing on this in March. Variety of WACs related to deer areas, elk areas, GMUs in Region 5, and also some disease influenced WACs. So I'm not going to show you the multitude of maps that I gave you in March, but I have them available if anybody needs to see them. First of all, in the elk area descriptions, our recommendations, we're proposing a permanent elk area 1075 to help us mitigate the Cloverland elk conflict situation. That one, our adoption of that will make this one permanent. It's been in place temporarily for a little while. An additional one in that neighborhood is a proposed new elk area 1082, the George Creek elk area. We anticipate that and intend that this will help mitigate potential conflict in the future with elk. We're also proposing a clarification to an elk area in Region 4. This addresses some changes in ownership over the years that are adjacent. We're also proposing an expansion of elk area 5099, the mud flow. This will do a couple of things, a couple of values. It'll improve the hunting experience for people who draw special permits for that area, and it'll also make the boundaries easier to understand. We're also proposing an expansion of elk area 6014. That's in the Buckley area, and that'll help us address additional wildlife conflict. And we're also proposing elk area 6612, also to address conflict near the town of Forks and the Forks Airport. I'm going to run through all of these, and if folks... Yes, sir.
Back up just a couple.
Yes, sir.
And so one in George Creek.
Yes, sir.
And I guess I just hope that we can maybe kind of keep a finger on that one and see, because there again, it's steep canyons, and I know we talked to the lands people about trying to help get some access in there, because, and I guess just keep a finger on and see where it goes and the success that we have, because most people are going to stand at the top and look at the bottom and go, bleh. So if we don't get any elk shot that we want to get in there, I think we may need to make some adjustments.
All right. Yeah, we'll certainly keep an eye on it.
Okay, thank you.
And work with our lands division.
Right, that's good.
If necessary, sure. All right, for the deer area descriptions, we're proposing a number of deletions here. The first one is the deer area 1030 Republic. Staff have indicated that that one is no longer necessary. Also proposing to delete the three deer areas that are sort of circling Spokane. These deer areas were intended to initially help us deal with nuisance and conflict, but they're really not accomplishing what we had hoped they would. They're more creating additional problems with access and trespass. So we're going back to the basics of GMU hunting seasons. We're also proposing deleting the deer area near Colfax. That one is also no longer needed. Problem solved for the time being. We're also proposing creating a new deer area, the North Issaquah deer area. You all remember that that was a fairly unusual map in March, but that's intended to provide some hunting as a tool to deal with some of the urban-suburban interface, as long as hunting isn't disallowed by some of the municipal ordinances. On the Region 5 WAC, simply some house cleaning. We're just changing the direction, which direction you're going up or down a stream for the boundary between the Lewitt GMU and the Lewis River GMU. Very simple. Special closures and firearm restriction areas. Most of this is housekeeping as well. You'll hear later this afternoon on the goat presentation that Rich Harris will have some additional goat opportunity in this area. The Lewitt GMU is a fairly restrictive GMU, and so we need to add an exception for mountain goats in there so that we can conduct those hunts. We're proposing clarifying some language on the archery restrictions in one of the restriction areas in King County. We're proposing clarifying which weapons can be used on Ketron Island in Pierce County. And that's really all it is for the firearm restriction WAC. And then finally, on the importation and retention of dead non-resident wildlife, WAC 224-13-030, one of the intentions of this WAC is to help us reduce the risk of chronic wasting disease entering the state of Washington. To date, in our surveillance, Washington hasn't detected chronic wasting disease, but we are seeing other states closer and closer to us having positive detections. In the last half of year or so, two new states have detected CWD and wild free-ranging deer. Those are Montana and Mississippi, and so our proposal is to add Montana and Mississippi to that state list of states and provinces that require additional processing if folks go to those locations, harvest a deer, elk, or moose, and bring it home. And with that, that's the first agenda item of mine.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, CWD is a serious issue. It's a bad one. Okay. Any questions? No. So.
Well, other than proposing that we name Elk Area 1075, rename it the Commissioner Holtzmiller Elk Area. I move to amend WAC 220-415-040. WAC 220-415-010, WAC 220-410-050, WAC 220-413-180, and WAC 220-413-030 as presented.
Motion made. Second?
Second, Keeney.
Commissioner Keeney, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried.